Hello, lovely listeners. This is Outside the Echo Chamber, a weekly podcast hosted by I Dream of Indie. I Dream of Indie is our YouTube channel, and we're dedicated to reviewing and bringing greater exposure to amazing indie games. So whether you're an indie warrior or you're new, thank you, and let us begin discussing and celebrating the indie gaming world. So first, of course, let's start with our week. How is everyone doing? How was your week?
I guess I'll go first. It was hectic here at the channel, as I'm sure you ladies understand. We got into the sponsorship deal a little bit. You know, Legend told me a bit about Catapult and Lurkit, and we've kind of been exploring working with smaller indies and some bigger publishers. We had a couple streams. I think we streamed every day this week, right?
So far,
and we do have one.
And tomorrow.
Tomorrow, or I guess today, if you're listening to this when it comes out. But that's been an experiment that I didn't realize people would be interested in actually working with us that way. But they very much are, which is great. But yeah, it caught us off guard a bit, I would say. So on top of all of the games we got, which was like a ton of games, we had to scramble to get a new stream schedule and everything. Most of my stress came from the channel this week, but it was like good stress, if that makes sense. Like, because I know it was positive things, but it just happened very quickly.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've talked about this with like people before. Like, there is good and bad stress, because without stress, you know, the life doesn't exist. It's a certain balance. And it was like the flood and the famine. We were in the famine phase of games, and then just like, and now we're gonna stream and this and this and this and this and this. And it's like exciting, but also like, somebody give me my paper bag.
Yeah. Took a little bit of catching up on everyone's part. Plus, we had that awesome interview with Clara.
CEO. That was another thing. Yeah, we had Clara, which was great too. But another
awesome
thing. And I think that was the first time we had an interview with the three of y'all.
It was.
Which was really cool. I like the dynamic of the four different
voices. I hope we didn't intimidate her too much with three of us popping into the chat at once.
She was surprised. She was like, oh, I didn't know there was going to be three.
Yeah.
I guess most people do podcasts with just like two other people, I suppose.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Email correspondence. It wasn't like everyone was talking to her and stuff. So,
and she was probably surprised it was three other ladies, because she did, you know, it came up in the chat of like how she's often the only woman, and then probably a woman of color in the room, breathing, existing. And then there's like four of us just like, ha!
Right.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, Clara is the influencer specialist, I believe she calls herself.
Strategist.
For Devolver. Oh, right. Legend's the specialist for Devolver Digital.
Right.
And I learned a lot from her, actually, just from that hour and a half interview, just about like the bullshit she has to deal with from people putting phony accounts out there to try to get game codes. And just there's this element to PR. People like to talk shit about PR. Oh, you didn't give me this game, blah, blah, blah. My numbers, blah, blah, blah. They go through a lot of bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't realize how as like influencers, I guess, is what we should call ourselves now, like influencers and content creators. I don't think people understand the difference, you know, because both those words kind of get tossed around and you don't.
Yeah,
really,
I was glad you brought that up.
So it was nice for her to be able to clarify what that is exactly and how numbers do play an importance in asking for keys. I mean, yeah, would she love to give keys to absolutely everyone? Yes. Probably. But, you know, she is going to give those that are able to influence an audience enough, you know, to purchase.
Can we talk for a second? Why does the word influencer feel like such a bad word? Like, it feels negative, does it not? It has like this negative connotation.
She was explaining it, though. I think I have like a different meaning of it now, because she said it means you have influence. It's not a bad thing. It just means, why would she have a business relationship with you if there's nothing in it? She's just to give you a free game and gets nothing out of it. What would be the point? It would be bad business to do that. So having influence just means you have a following. It means you're doing well. And
maybe
from what she was explaining,
it's that little voice in my head that goes like, who do you think you are?
No,
but it is kind of a nasty term. You're right.
Yeah. I get you. When I think of influencer, I have since my youth, I've consumed a fuck ton of YouTube. And the first thing I think of influencer, even though it's definitely not a thing anymore, is like some girl with like yoga pants to make her butt look bigger selling me diet tea. that's really just going to give me, you know, the runs and a stomach ache.
Yeah.
That's what I think of, just like cash grabs.
The poop tea. Yes.
I think for me,
like, you think of like makeup artists, really, like, you know, like influencers, like,
oh, yeah,
on YouTube. You think of like the makeup influencers, like
the beauty gurus. Products.
Like, yeah.
I'm wondering, yeah, like, exactly. Like, I grew up hearing, you know, don't be a bad influence. And maybe that just kind of stuck with me as a bad thing, like influence bad. I don't know. But there is like a negativeness to it that shouldn't really exist, I guess.
Well, I think it's because you're like, who am I to be, have this, I don't want to say power, but to be able to have this service that I can actually provide to people to influence them to become interested in a game. I think that's where the voices in your head start to, because you're just kind of doubting yourself. Like, how am I capable of even calling myself an influencer? You know, when, okay, yes, that's used to influence an audience, and who am I influencing and how, like, you think that, you know, but just think of how far the channels come, you know what I mean? And just from the live streams themselves, it's neat to see how, you know, you do influence an audience. You do, you know, influence and share these games for people who, you know, are looking to find indies, are looking for something different than they would see every day, which is mostly AAA games, you know? And I think that is, that's kind of cool. Like, it's weird, but it's also really cool to be a part of that niche, because indies is such a niche audience and we're so uber specific with who we delegate our content to. And she's right. Anyone can create content. You know, you do a reel, you do a selfie. If you're posting something, that's content, even if it's just words on a tweet, you know, anyone can do that. But to be able to like, be like, hey, I like this game because, and here's why I think you should try it, at least if you like the genre. I mean, that's something that's a different. So it was neat for her to clarify that.
Yeah, I think if we do anything of influencing, if it's to influence you to play more indie games, then we have done our job properly.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Legend actually brought this up earlier. We were talking about how you can have a lot of self-doubt when you're in content creation. And I've suffered from self-doubt a lot in my life, just thinking I'm a failure. That voice in my head goes off. Nobody should give a shit about you, Joe. Who are you? And yet 15,000 people have almost subscribed to I Dream of Indie. I can't explain why exactly people want to listen to us, but they do. And I'm very grateful for it. And she really got me thinking, you know, it's a privilege just to be able to get these games and talk about them and cover them. And, you know, it's a very special thing, but I am confused as to why anyone would want to listen to me.
I think it's because, and sorry to cut you off.
No, there, no.
But it's not just us talking at people. I think we have a lot of conversations with people. Mm. I think that's part of why it's more of a community than, this isn't meant to like toot our horns, but like without you who's listening to this right now, without a community, there is no I Dream of Indie.
Yeah. And I think the message goes a long ways too. You look at a lot of YouTube channels or Twitch creators, they have some cool stuff, but they never really have a message to go along with it. It's just like, I'm another dude or I'm another chick streaming and that's it. But I think a lot of people respond to the message of I Dream of Indie, bringing a voice to the voiceless. I think that's a really powerful thing that resonated with a lot of people. So it's exciting, but it's also kind of nerve wracking and scary to have any sort of success in content creation.
For someone action. Like me, everything is scary.
I have objection.
Sure.
I would say 1,000% correct. We, you know, the channel draws in people who are drawn to indie games. But as someone who started just watching, I was drawn in by y'all. At the end of the day, what we're drawn in by more is individuals, not really a message and a theme. That does keep us motivated, right? But it's the person. And that's why so many influencers are so effective, is that it's kind of like the cult of personality. You know, they're a kind of person that you want to be surrounded with.
Well, and you would know better because, like you said, you started out as a watcher. So I don't know why people watch me, but there you go.
Because you two are awesome.
Don't love this. This is very wholesome. But we never listened to what your week was like. Either of you, for that matter.
Oh, well, my week was just... interesting. And I had a lot of adulting I had to do this week. We're going on vacation at the end of the month, so it's like getting stuff for that because Florida's gross and hot. I mean, not gross like it's like the state's disgusting, but like it's just sweaty and it's hot. So we've been kind of prepping for that. And then the youngest has dental appointments, and then I'm trying to get organized, which is semi working out for me. This week's just been a busy week. It's just been busy.
Yeah, it's been very busy. I would say that's the theme.
My friend, a close childhood friend, we're mentioning it before the stream. Before the podcast, we were talking. She came down from New York for like family stuff. And she's like, I'm here. And I'm like, I haven't seen you in years. Tell me your exact GPS coordinates. So I rushed to her and I brought her here and I saw a movie with her. I haven't seen a movie in so long because I struggle a lot with watching movies and TVs because I'm such a pretentious, picky bitch that I don't like anything. I like to be always upfront with that. Just like, listen, I'm not trying to act like I got better taste than you. By no means. I just know I have very particular taste. And my friend has very similar taste. So she put a movie for me. It was called Last Night in Soho.
Oh, I've heard of it. I haven't seen
it. It's really good.
That looks good. Yeah, I remember it. I didn't watch it.
Really, really good. I highly recommend. The acting is so well done. It actually... Rarely do I have something surprise me with the ending, but they surprise. I was like, what? It's very, very good. I would highly recommend those of you listening. Highly recommend. Watch the thing. Very good. And outside of that, you know, it's just been working on I Dream of Indie stuff, working on house stuff, walking my doge, the typical.
Yeah, you've been busy, but I'm glad you got to catch up with an old friend. That's the best. I'm going to do that at the end of this month, and I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Yay.
Not me, because my friends are all right here on the Zoom call. That's not true. Outside of ex-hardcore gamer, who I did catch up
with. Yeah, he's going to hear this and be like, what the fuck?
Aren't you going to play golf this weekend?
Yeah, but that's my stepbrother. Does that count as a friend?
It's not your stepbrother. Right. It's your brother-in-law. And yes, yeah. That counts as a friend if you're doing things voluntarily together.
Yeah. And having a good time.
That's good. I'm terrible at golf, so maybe he's not.
That's okay.
Time,
but,
just try not to, like, you know, lose the club. As long as
I lost a couple balls, but I didn't lose any clubs yet.
Well, that's the whole point.
That's awkward.
Oh, that reminds me of a story.
Oh, actually. No, let's not.
Two kids were playing back in, I think I was in eighth grade.
Wait, before you finish the story, ask yourself, is this something the world needs to know?
Kind of. It's important for kids that play sports. So they were playing football and they did like a head-on collision with each other, like skull to skull, mm-hmm. knocked each other out. One of the kids ended up losing a testicle from it. And the other kid lost eyesight in his left eye, who used to drum for us. You know him. I won't mention his name. But yeah, brutal. Don't play football without a helmet is the moral of this story.
I'm confused as to how...
Apparently, they did, like the hit was so intense, it just shot down to his balls, and he lost the testicle. I don't know how this works.
Okay,
I don't mean to laugh, but it's pretty.
I'm not a doctor.
No, I'm not.
Sorry either. For laughing. That is fucking terrible. But
is there a nerve that connects from your brain to your balls?
If there's a doctor listening, which you're probably not listening this far, if you are, let us know how that's possible.
I'm telling you, just crazy shit has happened in my life. I can't explain it, but. But yeah, blind in one eye and no testicle for the rest of his life.
Yikes. Yes. Motto, don't play football. It's very dangerous.
It really is.
Play soccer and lose your knees instead or something. I don't know. Pick another body part.
Youth football is like one of the worst things for kids.
I tried to play football once.
Of head injuries.
I was so messed up the next day that like it was the most brutal thing I ever played.
Not that you shouldn't do it. Just like, you know, make sure you wear your helmet. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I stick to golf. You can't hurt anyone too bad in golf. You could.
Oh, let's not test that.
Yeah.
This is why I stick to yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very zen, very peaceful.
I like yoga and then I like kickboxing and I just like take out all my aggression on.
Are you girls flexible? Are you good at this yoga?
No.
Can you do the pretzel thing where the legs go over your head?
My friend.
Yes.
Really? I can't do that.
I do a lot of yoga. So I'm not as in shape as I was before for yoga, but I would say I'm pretty flexible, but I just love it. Like randomly I'll just be in bed and I'm just like, and I'll just like, then I'll just start doing it. I don't know why strangeness, but I enjoy it.
I get it.
See, I'm like the least flexible person. The last time I was in physical therapy for my back, they were trying to stretch me out. And the lady was like, your hamstrings are unbelievably tight. Like she had never seen anything like it, and she couldn't even get my leg up like halfway.
No.
No. So I have a long ways to go if I want to get into yoga.
Better start now then.
Yeah, I'm not sure
yoga's Disney for me. Yoga. You can get, like, prep yoga.
I love the idea of it because it's like supposed to be good for mental health too and anxiety and all that kind of stuff, from what I've heard anyways.
It's great for a lot of things.
I'm just like a little bit nervous about the stretching and hurting myself.
Well, you only do it as far as feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. If you feel pain, you stop. If you feel a stretch, a tug, you stay there. And then once that starts to feel comfortable in future sessions, whether it's a week, a month, doesn't matter, then you push yourself. It's just when you're like in a class, at least I felt this way, and you see that girl or that guy and they're fucking like doing origami with their body. And it's like, God damn it. And I was like, okay, I gotta try too. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Remember that thing with Marilyn Manson where apparently he took his ribs out and sucked his own ding dong? I don't know if it was true or not. Can you be that flexible?
I mean, some people do remove ribs.
That's
They do. They used to say that models did, right? So that their stomach would appear flatter or something.
No ribs, though? That would look like...
It's not no ribs.
You keep a couple.
Die.
Okay. Yeah, like the bottom two or something. Like the... Something like that.
I'll keep my ribs.
That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, no, totally.
Hard pass. They're there for a reason. Unless you literally lose them due to an accident or something, probably keep them in.
Yeah, I wonder if you punch Marilyn Manson in the stomach, do you just like go through him like clay?
Well, he's old now, so who knows? Like he's not.
Yeah, he's got other issues to worry about.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, let us move on to the next part. So, talking about stories for this week, let's start with reviews. We have Spider Sores. Joe, I think you did this one, right?
I did play Spider Sores. This was a game that originally came out back in 2019 on iOS from WayForward. Great publisher.
iOS and Apple Arcade.
Apple Arcade, yes, thank you.
Yes.
I'm sure y'all are familiar at least with a few of WayForward's games, right? River City Girls, for example.
Yes.
Great publisher. Always have that awesome art style. And that's the same for Spider Sores here. But it's a run and gun style game. They've made almost like a Contra game here. And it's not bad. Some of the level design is a little bit questionable because you have that whole thing in two player where the screen can start scrolling and the second player can get stuck. And then you're kind of yelling at each other. It's not a good co-op experience. It's one of those games where it's like, fuck you. No, fuck you. Get up here. Jump up here. No. And then it's just a big mess.
Yeah. The biggest issue is we did try co-op because I was like, oh, sweet. Like a brawler style game almost, you know, like where you're
running gun, but yes,
working together and, you know, running along and shooting stuff. But it just didn't quite work out because not only do you die when you're like off screen as a player too, but there's so many like falling platforms and stuff. And that just doesn't work when you're playing with two people.
Yeah. So it was weird. It's like a run and gun game that's better in one player. And yet the whole kind of fun of those games to me is playing with a friend. And it's still not bad. It's like solid, but it's nothing I would rush out to buy.
It's probably more fun to play alone, which is kind of lame because I prefer to play together.
Yes.
Yeah. With this type of game.
Yeah.
That was my hot take.
Yeah, that review's up if you want to learn more about Spider Sores. We also had Immortal Tactics, War of the Eternals. This looks complex for our strategy fiend here, Literary Rose.
It's at complex. I think I talked about in the review. It's complex at first because, you know, like there's a lot going on. You're just like, what is this? But die enough times and you start to get it. It comes from Kennesoft Games, I believe, is the developer and the publisher.
Yeah, I think this is the first time we've had them on the channel, to my knowledge, anyway.
Really, really solid game. I think it's in early access, if I remember correctly. At first, I didn't know it was.
That's weird. Yeah, I thought I remembered looking it up and it was full release, but you might be right.
No, it is not. I know it isn't just because, like, I got into it, right? I cleared a whole map and then I saw there was only one other option. I was like, that's odd. This feels like a very light experience for like this kind of game. So then I went to the store pages and like, early access, more is coming out. So,
okay. The store page must have updated because when I looked, it didn't say anything about early access, but okay, fair enough.
Yeah, they might have they probably did update it, but it's a very fun, I would say, game if you're into strategy and that tactical kind of turn-based stuff. I really like But what I love the most is the visuals. The pixel art on it is absolutely gorgeous. The enemy designs were really creative, I think, when you can see kind of the same repeat stuff. Like, even though there was some standard, like the goblin with the knife, he looked hilarious. He's like, hey, I'm gonna get you. They just did a really great job visually, and it's tough, but not overwhelmingly so, which I appreciate. So you still get that, like, yeah, I beat the level, move forward kind of feeling.
Yeah, well, then hopefully more to come when it's actually a full release.
Next, we've got Krut, the Mythic Wings, Silent Signs. You did that one,
with Krut. I don't know.
Yeah, well, both of you played it, right?
We did.
You did the review, and Legend did the stream.
Legend, you streamed it.
Yeah.
And I feel like you both had kind of different experiences with Krut, so I'm curious. Who do you want to... We'll start with you, I guess.
Well, I feel like Legend liked it more than me, so go ahead, Legend. You can start. What did you think about Krut?
I did like it a little bit more than you. I think it was because I loved how the movement was fluid with the environment, like the way that it turned with him. It wasn't just like, you know. I loved the graphics. I thought it was really good. The mechanics were a little wonky. But overall, I have to say the gameplay wasn't too bad. I mean, on easy, it was smooth. I couldn't imagine it on, I'm sure in hard and, you know, normal or whatever, it would have been a little bit more challenging, but I kind of enjoyed it. The story was pretty decent. A lot of reading out loud. So as a content creator, part of it, like that was a little over, I don't like it. I don't like having to read that much out loud. But I thought it was cool. Like, the only thing that bothered me though was, like, you know, you're calling it the silver wings, and yet his wings are not silver.
Yeah, they're like bronze at best.
Yeah, right? And I'm just like, what, you know, and if I'm defeating all these bosses, like, something magical should be happening to my body. Like, I feel like if I'm getting these powers after I defeat all these like gods of the forest, basically, and like different deities of different elements, basically. So like these elementals, I'm fighting these guys to absorb their power so I can save my people, but nothing, like, is it just there? That was my big qualm too.
Like, they make this whole big deal in the beginning, like you had to read through that stuff, and they're like, you go and you defeat each of these guys and they're gonna give you this power, and then you use all of your powers to defeat the main guy, whoever he was, the ogre rock guy, I don't know, Dwayne the Rock Johnson. And then you never like get any new powers. It's just the same powers, and you can like upgrade them.
I feel like that's like video game 101. You know, you beat the boss, you get the new power. Yeah, you keep, like, advancing.
Give me a triple jump at least, or something. Like, anything.
Yeah. Have me glow. Like, the only time you ever glowed was during the power up, and that was it. I mean, if it was the type of game, if you want to play a game in just one sitting, this is definitely your jam. Like, you can totally play this game on any difficulty level, I feel, regardless of your pro status, and finish it. If you just want to do like a one hitter, this is going to be your one shot. I mean, replayability, definitely not there, I guess, if you wanted to better your score. But you're right. Like, I liked the gameplay. I liked the mechanics, the environment, like the game overall, the story was great. It was those little things that were just kind of like,
Yeah. Take it to the next level.
I didn't like too much, yeah.
I actually played a little bit of Krut, too. I agree with Legend. Like, the fluidity of the main character is actually pretty good.
It is.
But then the combat, it's just, like, the enemies feel a little bit stiff and lifeless.
It's kind of just boring. Like, hit, roll.
The patterns are very...
Yeah, hit, roll, dodge. Hit, dodge.
Yeah. And the bosses are kind of like that, too. You know, you hit the boss, you jump over him, you hit him again.
And this sounds like I'm being, like, super, like, mean to the game. It wasn't a terrible game. It just, like, I feel like there's just really simple things that could have made
Yeah,
so
it was like they were trying to make this Souls-like, but wrote it as an action adventure, really, like a hack and slash type deal. Like, if they were trying, like, dodge, ooh, you know, anyone who dodges in a game, well, that must be Souls-like, and I think that's what they were attempting to do with maybe that mechanic, but it was, you just X, Y. Like, that's all that it was. It was
interesting, no too, like, how it was based on a movie. Mm-hmm. So we watched that trailer. And
I really want to watch the movie. Cool. I just can't find it.
I know. I would never play the game again. I think it was good the time that I played it. I would never try to, like, freeze my score. But I am really... But because of the game, now I want to watch the movie because I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah. Yeah. Thai only, I believe. It was a Thai film, right?
Yeah. 2018 was when it was released. Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. About Neon Blight. That was from the ex-Hardcore Gamer, actually. He had a couple buggy games this week. We have another one on this list, too. Excel, I guess that's how you say it.
Which Legend, Legend also played.
I did. I rewatched my video from last night, and I figured where I got lost. So I'm actually going to play it again tonight, because I'm like,
People are shitting on that game, but I think it's pretty all right.
I liked it. I mean, it had weird like character glitches was really the only thing. And the dialogue was awful. The dialogue was bad. It was like, it was trying to be funny in low, innocuous way. Or I don't even think that's the right word. But in this weird way, like trying to be hip to the scene. It was just falling flat. Like it was awful. Yeah. The story was okay.
It felt like I was even saying while I was watching you play it, like it feels like it's dating itself by using all of these references that like are not going to be cool in a couple of years. And then you're going to play this game and be like, what does that mean? Like spill the tea? Like what are they talking about? No one
talks like that in casual conversation. You're not going to be like, you know, to someone that you don't know. Well, you know, yeah, I have a question. Well, spill the tea. Like no one just says that in natural conversation, in friendship maybe, but this is a person who's in an area where she doesn't know who she is, let alone anyone else. But
she remembers, she's got to spill some tea, sis. Come on.
Yeah, but she knows how to like, just, yeah, she can spill tea. She can do all these things. It was really weird. And then it said how she had a stone embedded in her head, but her bangs covered it. You never saw the stone. So you never really got that reference, I think, if you weren't really paying attention to, you know, we have our influencer eyes, like, I don't know, but like content creator eyes, but you could sort of see it because that was the whole point of why these spears, the, you know, pink crystals were giving her headaches. She thought it was because of the one that she had embedded in her head, but then you never saw that crystal. So I don't know if you weren't really, if you're going to have a character that has some sort of like impediment, I don't know, like not impediment, but like some sort of like disability or whatever, then you should show it some sort of deformality, some scar. Like, I don't know. It took away from the character, I think. Because she kept talking about it, but you couldn't see it. So there was really no imagery reference there. But the gameplay was good, except for a couple of the character glitches.
maybe we can assume it's commentary on invisible illnesses and disabilities.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, people do... I can see being self-conscious about something like that. I just felt like if you were going to have that be a part of the story, you should at least show it more often or have her bangs be shorter, like have, because you want to normalize that, I think, instead of hide it, if you're going to discuss it maybe or imply that that's there so that it has more, I don't know, like accessibility or understanding, you know, then you can use it as kind of like a teaching tool or whatever. I don't know. But I just thought that was the only thing that really put me off, because then it wasn't really the character, because you couldn't really. I know that part bothered me. I don't know why that part bothered me, but it did. But I didn't like the puzzles. I didn't get far enough into the game. Hopefully I will, where we can do like the time bending stuff. But I did like how easy the puzzles were. They were part of the environment. You had to move objects and do certain things to pass through to certain areas. And I thought that was nice. It made it very natural, made the map very easy to sort of follow and navigate. Cause I thought I was lost a couple times, but I wasn't, you know, cause I would just see, it's just like the natural movement of how the map is. You just kind of naturally progress to the other areas. So that was really cool. The combat style wasn't too bad. The buttons were odd. So it was really weird. I kept hitting X instead of B to hit. And they didn't tell you, like, what was that robot doing? Nothing. It was just floating there. Like, they could have at least had the robot tell you, like, oh, hit X to use this weapon. It just gave you a cutscene of the object that you received, and then that was it. Like, I was, like, hitting all the buttons trying to figure out, like, what did what and how did he do it.
Y'all are right. Like, all of these flaws are valid. But at the same time, there was something to, like, the world and, like, the bones of this game that I kind of liked.
I agree. There was a likability,
even though I recognized intrigue. Like it was glitchy, it was broken, the story wasn't great, and yet the core gameplay was kind of drawing me in. I liked the world, even though I didn't like the story so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the story could have had a little bit of work. And I think it was because we had just had that talk about Seriously Clara, you know, her and Literary Rose were discussing how dialogue is important because it connects the story. Like, gameplay and game mechanics and environment is fantastic. But if your dialogue is meh, you know, then no one's going to pay attention to the story that you're trying to tell. They're just going to, like, play the game, you know, and not really take anything away that you're trying to. And I feel like most devs want their audience to come away with something. I mean, some probably don't. They probably just want to play my game and, like, whatever, you know, but others do have a story. And I think that it was trying to tell a story, but the gameplay was great. The environment was fantastic. I love the isometric view. I love the top-down aspect of it. It was easy. The buttons were backwards, but it was easy to handle. So it wasn't, everything else was like fluid, but yeah, I just think it's, I think, you know, we tend to dive too deep into that stuff specifically. But overall, yeah, the story was great. The graphics were gorgeous. Beautifully rendered.
That was kind of my takeaway. So I liked some of the puzzle design and I liked the visuals of it.
Yeah. The puzzles were fantastic. I love games where I'm not having to struggle for an hour at a puzzle. And all I had to do was move something. Like, you know, you're just like, what the hell is going on here? But the fact that it was just natural to figure out, it was easy for me to follow, that made the game even more enjoyable. Because for someone who doesn't particularly play a lot of puzzles often, having not to use a lot of logic to solve them while I'm playing a video game is kind of nice, you know.
Outside of Exel and Neon Blight, which I don't know a lot about Neon Blight, X Hardcore did that review, but my understanding is he had like a bunch of glitches in that game too, based on editing the review and stuff. Yep. So the main premise, I guess, is that it's a shooter like Enter the Gungeon, but you also literally run the gun shop.
Yeah.
So you're selling, exactly right. You're, you know, you're putting guns up for sale.
So and you're coming in. You're going to kill these enemies and taking their guns and selling them for profit if you can make it back to your shop from
like a pirate.
Kind of,
yeah.
Or like Robin Hood, maybe, sort of, except you're selling them.
So reminds me, I can't think of the name of that game, but there was this game where you were not only the alchemist, but you would be the alchemist shop owner too. Mm-hmm. And then you would end up selling people the potions and stuff. But I've seen that done in a few games. It's kind of cool. It's a neat idea. The other review was Loud. Kind of a quiet review on the channel, yeah. But that just went live today.
The game's not out yet.
Small game. Oh, is it not out yet?
No.
Okay. When's this come out?
Tomorrow.
Oh, well, I guess if you're listening today, Loud is a rhythm game on the Switch and I think PC too, right?
I believe so.
It's rhythm game on Steam, but it's not, it doesn't have a release date on there.
Okay. So maybe it's coming later.
I don't know.
Well, if it's coming later, you know, I hope they add more songs because it's a fun game. It's like Guitar Hero, except sparkly and with a story following a young girl. I would say it was kind of I think it's a very good game. I was like, as I played, I was like, oh, this is not for me because of the music. Because I was like, this is not my kind of music. But it's well-crafted. Decent amount of challenge, surprisingly challenging, and the story is probably the only part besides the length of it adding more songs. I wasn't really drawn in by the story, and I feel like they did care about the story to an extent because they made it kind of a deal of like you'd do songs and you'd pause and it's like you'd watch her grow up, but she was kind of very superficial as a character, and I don't mean like she was superficial, like I don't care about superficial things. Like, there wasn't depth to who she was. She played guitar, she changed her outfit and her hair, she had friends and then she lost them, and then she got signed at the end. We didn't really get to see who she was as a person to any extent, and I feel like if you're gonna pause to do these story beats, maybe expand on that a little. More songs, definitely needs more songs, especially because I would say the last four or so songs is where I felt the game was finally hitting its stride of like complex songs with interesting, you know, beats and rhythm, and you know, the guitar was fantastic. And the earlier songs were a bit like Baby's First Rock Song, just cute, but not really like, not something that as you're playing and you're supposed to get into the beat, you don't really get into the beat because it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of a little too chill. But it was good.
I always liked rhythm games. I had like all of that Guitar Hero plastic shit in my house when I was, that's when we like first started dating, really. We had Rock Band, the drums, the whole deal and everything.
When I was younger, I was obsessed with Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Yeah, so
you would like loud.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for the genre. I still like these games a lot. I don't necessarily want the plastic instruments in my house and all that. I just don't have room for that.
I want them back. I miss them.
Well, they tried to bring Guitar Hero back at one point.
And it was fun and I played it a lot.
Yeah, it was fun. They did like a live service type deal.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
It was a neat idea, but
I think I was in the minority.
Yeah, people moved on at that point. So it's always cool when you see these little projects come out that are still kind of paying homage to those Rock Band games and Guitar Hero, because they were huge. They were huge for a long time. And then one day you went into your Target, your Walmart, wherever, you just saw a stack of the shit. They couldn't get rid of it.
Unfortunately, but the indies will bring it back in new ways. So if recommend Loud, Silent Signs, you should play it.
I was going to say live coverage this week. Quite a bit of it. Doomsday Paradise, Exile again, which we talked about. And is it Sigil of the
Sigil.
Magi? Sigil of the Magi.
Oh,
I guess we'll start with Doomsday Paradise. This was a sponsored stream.
Yeah, that was super fun. I loved it.
I had fun watching this.
It was fun.
The writing was so good. It wasn't like, you know, fucking the next literary masterpiece, but that's not what they were trying to achieve. They knew what they wanted to do, and they executed that vision of just like wildness, chaos, nobody gives a single fuck about each other, but also like you want to romance these people, you want to be a crab man with the banana hammock, you know, swimwear on, you want to be Frank. A rat,
my man Frank.
Oh yeah, Frank. The one who friend zoned me. I'll never forget him. He was, even though he friend zoned me, I still loved him because he's a delightful skeleton doctor bean person. But I would say I just really want to play Doomsday Paradise, not just the full version, but with people. Cause I feel like if I had that much fun by myself, I can only imagine how much more fun it is with others, and you're trying to compete to see like who's the strongest. Who's good? Maybe do you compete to woo the suitors? I don't know.
In Monster Prom, you kind of do. I'm obviously not gonna like say that the gameplay to that was similar, but I wonder if that would be the case. That would be cool if you could.
That would be super cool.
Yeah, you could even have like bets. Like you could be like, "Yo, let's go for this person." And let's
yes. And then, you know, just have, oh, no, you know what? I was going to say something. I thought, no, girl, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe keep that in the noggin. But it was great, beautiful, well-written. I love it. It's not yet out, but they'll have a Kickstarter. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, go look it up. Stop wasting your time. Just kidding. Stay here, but look it up after.
Yeah, it was a really cool sponsorship. I didn't know much about this game up until we took on the project. And then, always fun to find a small indie that has something unique and different and unexpectedly cool. So
agreed. Yeah,
that was a neat stream. And then Sigil of the Magi, you just played that today at the time of this recording anyways.
Yes, I just played it. It is like a turn-based RPG meets Slay the Spire. So you've got like the deck building and you can switch out different cards. And I really like that. I really love the card games and like which ones and trying to do the long-term and short-term strategy of like, okay, I need some defense, but I need some offense. And blah, 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 blah. Visually, it's very beautiful. We all love, yeah, I know, Sans, as you mentioned, you also enjoyed the animations of the characters of the mage. I think his beard bobbed and everything. They're all just like, I love that.
I think shout out to Lord Metroid. He commented it kind of looked like a Sega Master System game.
He did say
and
that.
And he gave you a great strategy too, which is another cool part about streaming. They're interactive and the fans can help out and they feel like they're a part of the stream too, which I think is a
they
really
are
neat
part of it.
Thing. Yeah. like
a they part feel of the like they are, but you're not. Don't forget that peasant.
Boy, there are some streamers that are like, no, you're not telling me shit. I'm doing it all myself.
Oh, that's so terrible. Yeah. Well, thank God I listened to Lord Metroid because he kept insisting, like, put your wizard in the back. And I was, you know, being like a petulant child. Like, nah! But when I did it, like, you know, it worked.
I feel like even some streamers will like go as far as banning people for doing the backseating or like the strategies and stuff.
Well, I can
like,
see if you say, you know, this is, I want to figure this out myself. Like, yeah, please.
I think you label the stream like
refrain, you know, from giving me spoilers or
don't tell me anything
or whatever. Yeah. That's one thing. But if you're just streaming,
yeah,
people are going to have thoughts. That's just.
How do you both feel? You're streamers. So do you like the help?
I think there's a difference between like backseat gaming, mansplaining, and just helping someone out. I think they're like different categories too.
What's this
like,
mansplain stuff? Let's set the record straight here.
Well, what do you think?
Mansplaining is when someone tries to explain something that you already know, but in a way that makes
condescending,
people infantile. Yeah. Like it. Yeah.
Okay.
King catches that a lot. Like he doesn't mean to do it, but I think when he feels like I need details, then he goes kind of overboard with the explanation, and then I'm just like, checked out. No, just checked out.
Maybe it's just a man thing. Like maybe it's not malicious. It's just something men do.
Sometimes it's not malicious. Yeah. It's sometimes not malicious. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a couple of people I could, not to mention names, that go a little overboard with mansplaining during the gameplay. But and I know they're meaning well, but it's like when you're, there's a way of doing it, and like being helpful is one thing. Like when I was playing the XL, I think it's what it is, right? Pronounce XL. I think that's how the character.
I don't know. The characters say it a bunch of different ways.
We'll go with it.
Everyone says it different, but like the boss fight, like that was helpful information. Like I knew I had to roll, and I knew there was a pattern to it, but no one was being like, you know, you got, like left, right, left, right. But when you're like, you know, fighting in the middle of a boss battle, it's hard to be like left, right. You know, in your head, you're just trying to survive. I'm trying to live. You know, I'm just trying to live. But it was helpful because I knew that those were the directions I had to turn. It was just getting used to kind of like everything happening all at once. Plus you're paying attention to chat, plus you're doing all of this. And so it can be a lot of things, but when you're explaining it in a way where you're just trying to give helpful hints and you're not like overdoing it, I think that's, you're not giving the answers unless someone asks, you know, like I'll say, hey, let me just figure it out on my own, because that's one of the reasons why when I play puzzle games, I don't hang out with King of that. He's not in my Discord. I don't converse with him because he has a tendency to give me the answers. I'm just like, yo, I just want to try. It's going to take me an hour to figure it out probably, but I just want to try to do it on my own. Because when it clicks, it's so satisfying when you're like, oh, okay. You know, if I ask for help, then yes, please. But don't like, yeah, I think that's what mansplaining is too, is when you're kind of giving advice and it's not necessarily needed, but it's the context.
Or the assumption that you don't know, like, yeah. This never happened to me in the gaming sphere because like y'all are basically the closest I've ever had to gaming friends, like who play things that I like as well. And that whole circle is more like in real life. Like I'll just be chatting with someone at a dog park about dog things, and this man will just be like, let me explain to you why a harness is better than a leash. And I'm like, bitch, my dog's already in a harness. Like, I'm a dog mom with a dog backpack. I pluck his ears. I've got a poodle. Like, you don't need to explain to me these things. And he's just like, I'm here to help you, long girl. It's like, go it.
Mm-hmm. That's a big no-no. Yeah, when someone's like also trying to be like a parent for your kid or something, and they're telling you how to dress your kid and that kind of stuff, that's just like blood boiling type stuff.
Yeah, so I think the key takeaways here are that it's something that is said in a condescending way and something that is not asked for. So advice that is not asked for and is told in a condescending way.
It's a little weird in a stream though, because you're not asking for advice unless you specifically title it like we talked about.
No, but sometimes, you know, you're just trying something and you're not saying, hey, how do I do this? You're just, you know, trial and erroring your way through it, which is like how I live my entire life, basically.
I think another component too, Legend kind of mentioned this, is that like when you're a viewer of the stream, it's like, oh, I see the pattern, that's easy. But yeah, she's right, you don't have it mechanically in your
but
hands.
You're not reading the chat and trying to do it and trying to make sure that your stream looks good and like everything's
framed and the buttons are weird. You're trying to like remember what to hit, because you
is that stressful as a streamer
keyboard. But you can't hotkey the controls in that game, which is weird. But yeah, it can be. It can be, because Like you were asking this earlier, and Rose said that I was, I'm not a pro. I'm just, I guess I've just done it longer, but it's a hard, I'm in my head. I'm mentally telling myself, pay attention to chat too. Like, don't go for, so, cause they say in this space as a live streamer, you never want to go longer than 10 seconds without saying anything. And I think that may even be too many. Because you want to make sure that you're engaging, that you're talking all the time, because if people come into your stream and it's dead silent, they're more than likely going to leave and not say, they might want to watch with you, they may lurk because they're intrigued by the gameplay itself, but it's always important to keep track of that. And so it can be a little daunting when you're playing a game for the first time and it is a boss fight or something that's like semi-challenging and you have to like, you know, pay attention, because I feel rude if I'm not saying something, because like you can see like sometimes off the corner of your eye, or if you're looking, if you have your phone down here,
yeah,
you know, when you're trying to keep up with that, you can see like this stuff moving. And so like it could be a chat, it could be Nightbot, you don't know. So you have to always be diligent about consciously aware, I guess, or unconsciously aware that that's up there.
That's a whole art to streaming. I don't really understand it, because my gameplay is all done in my comfort of my own room and nobody's watching me per se, so it's not like stressful.
See, I
put the stress on myself to get things done.
I find that I talk to myself when I'm playing games anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like yelling at stuff that's not in the room.
I do that anyways in life. Like I'll be sitting on the toilet, I'll start talking to myself just randomly, and then I'll catch myself, oh, why, I just said something to myself, this is weird.
Yeah.
And that's peak content creation right there.
Right there. Yep.
You know, that's exactly what it is. I talk to myself out loud all the time. I answer my own questions.
Me too.
All the time. I answer my own questions all the time. I'm always like
you know, why did I come in this room?
Oh, yeah. What is that for? Oh, you know, wait, what
I'm
is
guilty
what's
of
the
that.
Meaning of this? There it is. Like, you know, or I'm one of those people where like I'll leave a room, I'll forget that I have to step back in and be like, oh, that's what it is. And gameplay can be like that too. But that's why I think it's easy for me to stay communicado, because I just talk out loud anyway. It's just kind of natural for me. But yeah, it's hard. Hard you.
Not to go too off topic here too, but I want to get your girl's perspective on this. Do you think numbers do go to streamers or content creators' heads? Do you notice a change in people as their channels get bigger?
Stress. Yes. I've seen YouTubers that when they start to get really into like the number game, you can see them start, their mental health start to deteriorate. Like video
right
for video,
eyes,
you start to see them just like wither away as a person. You're like, oh God.
It all comes down to like how much value, like of your own self-worth, you're putting on this arbitrary number that you have absolutely no control over. Like, yes, you can do stuff that's going to gain you followers or subscribers or whatever, but like nothing you can do is going to like keep them around forever. Like people lose interest or people move on to something else, and like you have absolutely no control over that. And that's why,
kind of morbid too, but people die.
Well, they're sure, but like, and you know, just times change, people change, and people move on. It's like the natural progression of life. I don't watch the same shit I watched 10 years ago.
I wouldn't expect someone to watch me for 3 years.
So to put this like heavy weight and value and like your own self-worth on this thing that you don't have control over is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, you're right.
It is.
Sorry.
It is dangerous. No, you're absolutely right. And I'm like, as like streaming on Twitch, it's a huge issue. It's a huge problem that people have because they focus too much numbers. When I focus on my numbers, it drove me crazy. Because in order for you to ask for keys, you have to have a certain amount of followers. You have to have a certain amount of CCV in order for you to apply for opportunities, in order for you to qualify, even to get an affiliate, you have to have at least three people watching you concurrently for like the last 3 months. And for partnerships, that's even more outrageous. You have to have 75 concurrent viewers. Most games don't even look at you analytically unless you have 10 people concurrent. I'm lucky if I can get like 4.2, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's huge.
Because the discoverability is so hard, because indie gaming is such a niche genre, because everything is oversaturated with the most popular thing, and Twitch decides, and I'll call this out on everyone, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Gaming, a lot of the platforms, they do not value indie gaming as a whole as they should, because that right there is an audience, is a market that they're completely ignoring that they can make the most money from. You know, if you're thinking this as a business perspective, as a platform perspective, you would want to have the indie games right there up with AAA gaming, because that's going to be competition. You're going to have more people wanting to fight for that top spot. And I hate to say it, but that's what they do. You know, it, to give that platform visibility. So what should you do? Like, people should take, Twitch should take indies into consideration. You know, I love the fact that YouTube does have that when it comes to videos. I mean, live streaming is still kind of new to YouTube. So to get the viewers that we have and the community that we have has been really, really cool, because now people are starting to recognize it as a live streaming platform, at least when it comes to like gaming and stuff. But it's just, it's so underutilized and overlooked, which is sickening, because you can make so much, you can make so much money from indie gaming, because people like specific indie games. They just like JRPGs. They just like narrative stories. They just like turn-based tactics, you know? And that's a market that you're not utilizing, which is so, so sad to me, you know? And if Twitch gave as much consideration to, like, you know, Black History Month and Asian, you know, Pacific Islander Heritage Month, as they do, you know, Pride Month and all these other months that people like to, you know, celebrate just from, you know, an economic standard and not really supporting them as a whole overall all the time, you know, they should do indie gaming. Like, I don't understand why you can't just change games and demos, right? Change that into games. Like, I do. It's all you have to do. And Glimish is a streaming platform that at least has that. Like, you can tag your game as an indie game. Twitch will sometimes pop it up for you automatically. On Facebook, I have to tag it specifically. I can't play half the games I have in my library on Facebook because they don't recognize the gameplay. You have to manually put those games in, and that takes time out of my day. And Facebook is paying me at all to do that. You know, as much as I want to give indies voice and visibility, you know, I have other avenues that I can use, such as I Dream of Indie, to be able to do that. So, you know, having to fill out those forms take time. Like, there's forms I've put in that still haven't been looked at. And it's like, ugh, you know, how is a content creator and influencer supposed to grow on a platform that's supposed to be, you know, welcoming and inclusive, yet you're completely disregarding an entire genre of gaming, an entire industry? It's so crazy to me.
Yeah, it's hard not to think about numbers when all these other
factors. Numbers are so important. Indie streamers, unless you throw in a little bit of AAA here and there, you know, unless you have some kind of shtick, and I hate to say it, there's a couple of indie streamers out there that they have such a shtick, and it's like, yo, like, calm the fuck down. Like, really, just breathe a little bit. I understand that you have an image and you're trying to brand yourself as this, but just breathe. It's like, help us out. You know, if you're playing specifically indie games and you've got this niche and you've got this whatever and you've got all these bells and whistles and you see yourself succeeding in that venue, then why can't you just be like, yo, my fellow man, you know, let's collab, let us hang out. You know, I stream mostly on Twitch, and yet here I am now finding myself a part-time YouTube creator because of you guys, you know, because we collab, you know, and we're able to bring the voice of indies on multiple platforms, which is awesome. Like, just...
You know, when you were talking to Clara too, she mentioned the tier system to a degree. She was talking about how there's different tiers for how many subscribers and numbers you have and such. I actually felt like there was a little bit of a danger in that too, because that puts a lot of stress on a person to feel like you are micro versus macro and all these labels. And I just, I'm not a big fan of that system, to be honest with you.
It sucks, but if you're trying to make a business out of a live
stream, I understand why they do it. Yes.
It sucks. It's so dumb. Yeah. It's so dumb, because if I look on my numbers, I'm just like, analytically, there are certain things that I'm really good at, but all they care about is just the views, you know, the other stuff. Like, I actually suggest that most influencers or content creators use a link tracker if you can. Some services you have to pay for, others you can have free, but they only give you like a limited amount of links, because that can also be a part of your resume. You can be like, look, I may not be able to get your 10 concurrent viewers every single time I stream, because, you know, some people do this part-time. They don't necessarily have this as a full-time, you know, job or whatever, you know, but I'm able to give you at least clicks to your website. Like, here's what I'm capable of doing, even though my audience may seem small. I have other social networks that get visibility so that your link will at least get clicked on. And I think that's what helped me a little bit with getting the keys and some of the recognition that I have. Not that I'm like the most popular indie streamer, but like, are, you know, IDM of Indies recognized, you know, my name is recognized. Here's like Clara, obviously. There's a whole bunch of others that are out there that are really well known in our industry because we just kind of like network with each other and we're all in the same circles. But it sucks that, you know, so if you can't get your viewers, there's other ways around it. But most content creators or influencers just don't see it that way. And seriously, Clara talked about that too. You know, she said, you have to, as much as you hate Twitter, you have to be, got to do it. Yo, you got to. Because we all hate social media. I can't stand it half the time, but you have to do that. You've got a network. You have to have a brand and a presence.
Another thing that I think really sucks is like we take on these smaller games like we did tonight with the Doomsday Paradise, and we had Sigil of the Magi. And those games aren't going to get huge amount of views no matter what you do. You could put it on a giant channel and it wouldn't probably get more than a couple hundred views. And that's going to hurt analytics for a channel just because they wanted to support a smaller game. I don't like that system at all.
Yeah, I don't like that system at all, but the click that you have in the description box, the click that you have in your chat will get hit on, you know, so even though it may not drive sales, it's driving looks that could get those sales. So it's like, you know, it sucks, but if it doesn't help you out, you're helping someone else because you're
that's still the good part about it. Yeah,
well, it's just, you like know, anything else with the game. Talking about something, creating more visibility for it is never a bad thing. It's it's creating awareness. So even if somebody doesn't act on something immediately, it's creating something where they are thinking, well, oh, I'm going to go buy a new game. Oh, I saw this was being streamed on this channel, or this was reviewed recently. Yeah. And it like brings it to top of mind. Whereas before, maybe it would have just sat in the like hundreds of games that comes out every day.
But the reality is, like, if you think about it, for featuring a small game, our channel will sometimes be punished and we'll be locked out of certain codes and we won't get certain games because we wanted to support a small indie developer. I just think that's kind of backwards.
I mean, it doesn't personally bother me.
It doesn't bother me, but I'm just saying it's kind of absurd.
It is absurd.
Because
it
people come to iDream of Indie, they want to see every kind of indie game. They want to see a big game, a small game. There's all kinds of different individuals on this channel. Some don't care about certain games, some care a lot about certain games, and I don't understand the system.
It totally sucks. Like, once I stopped caring about, realized that, look, indies are just, you know, indies may not bring numbers, but you still bring visibility, and I think that's what's most important to me now. You know, before it was like, you know, when I did do the whole, and I've been through all those personas and all that stuff, you know, because Twitch is, it's a growing experience. You see someone else, you think, okay, that works for them. Let me try, you know, until you can find your own space. And once you realize that there's power in your space, that you have the power to dictate what type of content that you have, what type of audience you want to stream to, how you want to portray yourself publicly, how you want people to know you privately. Once you realize that you have power in that, and that, yes, numbers gets you the jobs, but there are those people that are going to look at your channel and be like, dude, this girl was pretty dope. You know, this person seems all right. Like, they're showing me the game. They're giving me constructive criticism. They're doing all this stuff. And, you know, there's little things that you can do, which may not give you like the big sort of notoriety that you want, but it can still get you noticed and still do the important thing that you're trying to do, which is raise indie games, raise indie voices, and make sure that they get visibility, regardless of whether they're going to be, you know, they're going to hurt your numbers or not. I mean, my Twitch numbers lately have been a little atrocious, you know, but that's, I've been playing some really awesome games, you know, so that kind of like,
and a bigger focus on what we're doing here too, I imagine. So,
well, just to add a little bit, it made me think of something I saw in a video talking about like preaching to the choir, and it had more to do with opinions, but it kind of had to do with just like communicating to different audiences. And that there's more evidence suggesting that preaching to the choir or like talking to an audience that already agrees with you, that is in line with you, is more likely to be effective and expand rather than trying to draw in people who are never interested in the first place, because there's this big barrier you have to overcome. So I think, you know, I feel like for now, and who knows for how long, indie games are not going to get the numbers of Fortnite, you know, for an example.
Probably never.
But we don't want Fortnite's people. We want our indie people. And then we want our indie people to bring their friend who's into indie stuff and just make like a nice little lovely community that way. And that's always going to be slower and not as glamorous, perhaps. I don't know what the glamour is, but
and in the case of I Dream of Indie, it's such a large umbrella. We cover every genre and every console and every system. So it's impossible. Not every video is going to appeal to everyone. It's just not.
All right. So let's take a look at some gaming news. First, we've got a Soldiers update out now on the Switch.
I heard this version had some issues compared to the other versions.
Yeah, I had seen that in our comment section of the
PC, which is common. Review. Like we see a lot of that. Wait, what's up with the Switch version? I don't know, man. It's an old system that's not powerful. Maybe that could be the problem.
There's that, and just like it costs money to port these games to all these consoles.
That was the other thing you talked about with Clara. Yeah, the money part of it.
You know, the money is limited, man. It's a hot commodity these days, in case you haven't noticed.
But I get it, you know, because that happened to me with Cozy Grove. I got Cozy Grove and I'm loving it and I still love it, but I had to stop playing it on the Switch. I didn't have a PC that could play it at the time when it came out because it just couldn't handle being on the Switch once you had like 20 birds and deer and
it doesn't have a lot of RAM and that's all RAM based, so when you have 16 gigs of RAM in a computer, it's going to run it a lot better than I think it's 4 on a Switch.
And the other thing is that they are still charging the same price on the Switch and you're not getting the same quality of product.
A lot of times that's happening. Yeah.
So,
but it's the only option some people have. They only have the Switch. And nothing against the Switch. I'm not anti-Switch or anything.
I actually like playing on the Switch when it works. When it works, it's great.
It has become more frustrating in the last couple of years as it gets older and older to play stuff on there.
Not everything should be ported to the Switch, or if you want to, like, I don't know, you might have to make a new version that's stripped down, and in that case just leave it be.
But at that point, you know, are you going to start investing in a Steam Deck and just have a really good portable system? No, that's kind of where I would like to be. I have no money now, but I would like to
forever
be.
Really.
Did y'all keep up with Soldiers after our review?
I actually never played the game. I'm the only one on the channel that never played. I never played it. So we never played it. Legend played it for the Steam official page, I believe.
Yes.
And you played it for preview and then X Hardcore.
Yeah.
So somehow I got screwed out of never playing Soldiers.
Mm-hmm. It's a good game.
It's a great game from what I've seen.
Interesting thing I learned about it. So a YouTube video popped up on my feed about like hardest Metroidvania ever, but it was from like, you know, has that clickbaity title, but it's from a YouTuber I know that like their content is good. So I started watching. I was like, all right, let's see what you're going to do. And I learned a lot about, I guess, like drama ? That surrounded Soldiers when it first came out, because it was so difficult that the devs had to go back and make it less difficult, because it was like 0.3% of people had reached the ending.
Wow.
Yeah, I was watching. I was like, oh my God, this is wild. So they made it too hard. So hard that people were review bombing it on Steam, because they're like, I can't play this.
I felt like when we had the preview version, like you were doing pretty well and Legend was doing pretty well in the game, in the preview anyways.
It gets annoyingly hard after that first section, because I played more and I got into like the sand desert area, and that's when I was like, I don't need rage, goodbye.
That's a bummer, because you were really positive on the game up to that point.
Well, it seems like they made those changes of bringing down the difficulty so it's playable, people can have fun, because I think if that's done, then you know, everything else about the game, I would say, is fantastic. But just from hearing those stories, and this person, of course, in this video was like, I'm going to try to beat it in its old version of being super duper hard. And it's just like a video of them suffering. And I'm like, okay, do you?
I admire that, though. That's great.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's great to have that option and like maybe leave that in, but also just make it easier
difficulty? I don't know. Yeah, but this is this is a conversation we've had like a million times.
And why, hello, you want people to buy your game, don't you? You know, like, don't make it so hard. Unless you're like specifically for that market, I suppose. But I never played most of the game.
There's a fine line of like acceptable challenge, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just perhaps it's a little bit easy sometimes, especially since they created this game. They played the shit out of it, I'm sure. You know, they've got this like inscribed into their brain. And the rest of us are like, we just picked this up and I just died 10 times in a row and I haven't left the first area.
Hate those games. Hate those games so much. I just want to play the game. Why are you making it so hard? I liked Sands of Aura, but I hated the fact the boss was so freaking hard.
I remember that one.
So yes. I was like, it doesn't make me want to go. I don't want to go back and play that game. I got to do that boss again. Like, I don't want to continue from this point on because it's like for my skill level, there's just no point.
Feeling stuck in a game. I like to be at least moving a little bit forward because, as we all know, working at this channel specifically, time is precious. We have to get shit done, as Rose has said in many reviews. And it's annoying to fucking fight the same guy over and over again and go back to, like, I like the roguelike genre to a degree, but I just don't want to do that. Eventually, I'm going to lose interest. Let's go on to Yomawari.
Yes. So we have seen a trailer of this. You in podcast world have not, and YouTube podcast world, you have not either. But look up Yomawari, Lost in the Dark Ghost. Lost in the Dark Ghost, is that the title?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay. I thought my brain was like, those two words should not go together.
Oh no, Lost in the Dark. Yomawari, Lost in the Dark.
Okay, I thought something was
maybe. I don't know if you can do this, Rose, but for our video friends, can you put up the trailer?
Yes,
that would be great.
Yes, let's look at that real quick. But it looks very interesting, right?
That was like interesting.
If you didn't know, by the way, if you are an audio listener right now, legends get the show in video form.
Here, can you all see this?
Yeah, got it good.
Yeah, so I'm going to skip a little bit forward, but the art style is very interesting. I think, Legend, you mentioned that it reminded you of Isaac, right? Of Isaac,
yeah. It definitely has that vibe.
It's like chibi art mixed with horror. It's kind of cool.
I love cute, dark things.
So. There's a cat.
I'm sold.
Yeah, oh, once there's really a cat, we're all here.
Animals and horror. What could be better?
Let me skip forward to like the weird creepy bosses. Like there's a nice creepy vibe and tone to this, the atmosphere that just looks really engaging. And hopefully the gameplay is good. Cause you know, you'll see pretty visuals and you're like, I hope this is good. Like this looks like Slenderman.
It's creepy looking.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. It looks like more indie than even usual for NIS. They do kind of the AA niche anime style games a lot. This looks like super indie, which is cool.
Yeah. So if what you're seeing are lovely indie legends and indie warriors as well, see this?
Just legends get the video version.
All of our indie legends, you're seeing the video. If this looks like something that speaks to you, you know, keep up to date on it. It's coming out from NIS America. For sure, we're going to review that.
Yeah, no doubt. And
it'll be here.
And a side note, I like their new logo quite a bit. Did you notice NIS's new logo?
Oh, they have a new logo.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's at the beginning of this video.
Oh, man. My eyes just... it's very nice. I didn't realize at first. I thought that was the game.
No.
I thought it was the game, too.
It's got that nice kind of like Japanese brush stroke look to it.
I know what you're talking about. No, yeah.
It does. Mm-hmm. I like that Okami kind of style.
Hell yeah. I love Okami.
Am I like the only person in the world that didn't play Okami?
Yeah. No, I've never played it.
Okay. Good. That makes me feel a little better.
Y'all gotta play Okami. What are you
I heard
doing?
It's great.
It's really good, but it's long. It's a long fucking game.
I'll probably never play it then.
Fair, but maybe watch some clips of it. You'll still get some enjoyment.
Deadly Premonition 2, I'm not touching it. No. As far as how long the story is, but yes.
I wonder if I should start like lying in bed at night and putting on some long plays of games that I know I'll never play just to see what they're all about.
Oh, I thought you're,
that's what I do.
I wonder if I should just start lying and saying that I play
games. I could do that too. That would be, well, a lot of YouTubers like to do that, so we could do that. Yeah, that'd be easy.
I do that for a ton of games, especially ones I'm like, I'm interested in it, but I'll never play it, like the city builder kind of games. That's like, you need like the God level brain. I'm like, I don't know. I don't wish to do that, but I will watch this person do it.
Mm-hmm.
I will shout out any of those long players, because that's freaking crazy to do that. And then to make a video of it. And I just imagine that's a nightmare. Lot. Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot, I'm sure. That's a lot of work. I mean, games are sometimes like 32 hours long. Like if you complete everything, if not longer, like spend all that time dedicated to one game. I don't know if I could.
And then to edit it down to make it like somewhat watchable.
And just like a few minutes, like how you can take that many hours and try to just, that's a lot of work. That's impressive.
Honestly. I've seen like 12-hour games shrunk down to 5 hours for these long plays. It's neat. I don't watch that stuff too often, but I think I might get into that a little bit more just because, like I said, I'm always playing something here at I Dream of Indie. So I just don't have time, and I might never have time to go back and play some of this stuff.
Yeah. You experience it a different way.
That's right.
Well,
all right. Community poll results.
Yes. So
this actually posted a little late. Sorry about that.
Do you want the most up-to-date results from the posts? Because I have it on my phone right now.
Sure.
Give.
All right. Well, today's poll on the community section of the channel, we asked, what was your longest single play session? And the most popular answer was, believe it or not, a 10 plus hour marathon.
Really? That's the most popular?
At 36%.
Wow. That's wild.
And this is out of 75 votes because, again, we did post this a little bit late. But yeah, 36% of people said 10 plus hour marathon. The next most popular was between 3 to 5 hours, which is where I sit pretty much. I can't like sit still for much longer than that.
Yeah. 3 to 5 is like, yeah, after 5, you're starting to get antsy.
And believe it or not, the least popular option was I don't usually go over an hour or two.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a nice hour or two is a good burst of gameplay myself.
That's like what I prefer. But if I'm talking about the most time I've ever invested in a game, it's definitely more like the 3 to 5.
And we've one-shotted a bunch of games here working at I Dream of Indie. We've definitely played a game from beginning to end before.
Well, we have played that many games beginning to end before.
10 hours, though? I don't know if I've done a straight 10-hour. Maybe when I was like 12. But
I've done like a 7 or 8 hour when Skyrim Elder Scrolls came out. I think my sister had a boyfriend at the time who brought his Xbox and it was just over and they went on vacation. I was like, it's my time. And I knew it wasn't going to be there forever. So that was part of my incentive of just like, I know I'm getting antsy and I'm going to move around a lot while I'm doing this, but I need to play as much as possible before I can no longer.
Yeah, that makes sense. We also definitely like marathon some Tales games.
Well, you know what, though? We've done Extra Life, which was insane.
That is true.
We were ready to kill each other at the end, but we did do it.
You made me do unmentionable shots.
Yes. Yeah, our Extra Lives are interesting at I Dream of Indie. They'll be like probably more viewed this year than ever. I don't think we did it last year, actually.
No.
Because we put out the album instead. But this year we are going to do Extra Life, probably split amongst us. Hopefully we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we can figure something out.
We'll do shifts
that
or something.
True. We could do shifts.
But we ended up doing shots of soy sauce and vodka for like every donation. And we got real messed up, man. We were like pretty angry at each other.
I wasn't messed up. I was just
God, right, because your sodium intake was high on top of.
Yeah, it's a
we looked up
idea.
The nastiest shot. Like we looked up on Google the nastiest shot you can take. And it's like, okay, people will probably pay
actually
to see this.
The reason we were so upset was because something happened while we were streaming where your account got like
glitched or
compromised. Yeah, like our Google account that is this very like YouTube channel, something happened with like a password or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
And it was just a mess because we couldn't sign in on our computer, which was like how we were supposed to be streaming.
It wasn't like a hack. It was that like Google detected us as like a faulty account or
not
something.
Not ourselves, even though we were sitting in the room, like typing in the code. It was very
weird. So we were locked out of that. And that was
so stressful. It was like very high stress plus taking shots of soy sauce and vodka, which would make anyone upset.
Why would you do that to yourselves? Like, I'd rather strip.
It was much rather a kids, you know, kids charity,
you know, for the children. Yeah. You do a strip for the children, y'all.
At some point,
you know. So I might change the rules a little bit this year. That'll be my first time streaming in probably a year.
Yes, that was not a great memory, but we did raise some money for a good cause, and that was
that's all that matters. I've had gallons of chocolate poured on me for charity. I've taken cold showers and subsequently got like I was close. But instead of doing the ice bucket challenge, because obviously...
Wait, did you say chocolate? Night.
Yeah, chocolate. You know, the big-ass Costco things?
Yes.
We know it well.
Yeah, so two or three of those in the middle of King of the Hatch's bathroom in a kiddie pool. We hit, like, a goal, like 500 or something like that, and he proceeded to dump it all over me,
Oh my god!
The things we do for fundraising. How many freaking
weird showers have you taken, Legend?
I don't even want to. Oh my god! I was like, I would rather do cream corn than chocolate sauce, to be quite honest with you, because it's just the thickness and the goopiness of it was just the most like, and then it like went everywhere, and like I hopped in the shower immediately, like fully clothed after everything was said and done, and it was just. Chocolate elegant shower was gross. It smelled like hot, wet chocolate in the bathroom for like
your drain is gonna clog.
So it was so it was great. I mean, it was funny and it was hilarious at the time, but like the aftermath of it was just he had to like the kiddie pool away to dump it out. It was just hilarious. It was funny.
Yikes.
I think Silent Signs, it would be cool. I don't know if we could actually pull this off.
Oh god.
If we legit all got together IRL and did Extra Life.
See, I think this could work because what we could do, hear me out.
Okay.
We can drive.
Uh-huh.
We'll pick up Legend on the way.
Yep.
And we'll keep driving.
We just cruise to Miami.
And we'll cruise to Miami.
Don't drive here. No, take a flight. Take a flight.
I've done it before. Well, not Miami, but I'm
driving to Florida at the end of the month. We're leaving on the 28th and
you're like halfway there already.
Yeah, that's what I figured. We're on the way anyway. So
come over. I have inflatable bed. I have sofa. Wally will lick your eyeballs.
That's fine.
I'm okay with that.
Creatures bother.
And I will feed you a lot.
Oh, almond butter, I hope. Seem to be on an almond butter kick. So
if you want almond butter, I'll give it to you. But I was thinking more like croquetas and like, ooh, you know, yummy, ooh, like please.
Guava cheesecake. You know, you can only really get that in Florida.
Oh, I'm sure. And you know, I have an ice cream shop that they have guava and cream cheese ice cream. And it tastes like guava cheesecake.
That sounds so...
Wait, this isn't the ice cream shop that you swore to never return to, is it?
Yes. It's too good. I don't like the person, but damn, he makes good ice cream.
Yeah, but they don't know us. We can go very incognito and pick you up whatever you need. So
this is true.
I need my fix.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm kind of lactose intolerant, but I think I've talked about that before.
We'll eat it anyway. Fuck it.
But, yeah,
but the cheesecake sounds good. Anyway. Guava cheesecake. I've never heard of that.
Hell yeah, that sounds delicious.
My uncle's been raving about it because it's really, I guess, like a Cuban thing. Maybe if I'm wrong, but it's more common, I guess. And yeah, so he was like all about it.
It's very common down here, but you'll find like guava. Well, you'll hear it said as guayaba everywhere. Like there's these pastries that they're filled with the guava. And sometimes like, do they put cheese in it as well, my love? Cream cheese. Yeah. Ooh. Oh, and then tequeños, which is like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a cheese roll. It's like breaded and inside there's cheese and they'll put the guava in there too. And of course,
it's like a mozzarella stick with guava.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's a mozzarella stick with guava. Yes. Oh my God. I will. If you come here, I will feed you so much. You'll be like, stop. And I'll be like, no,
never stop.
Well, my brother lives in Orlando-ish area. So it's on the way. I could visit him. I could go to Miami. It's like 3 more hours.
Yeah. You know? Only 3 more hours. Getting in and out of Florida is a whole thing. God, we've done like a whole day to get out of here.
Yeah, it's long.
We've done it. Yeah.
Yeah, Jacksonville to Orlando was long even. So
My uncle lived in Miami for a really long time.
You lived there? I didn't even know that.
My uncle did. Yeah, he did. He actually worked for American Airlines. He was like the ticket person there for a really, really like many, many years. He loved it. He lived in this big old apartment building like near the beach.
Oh,
in,
probably
in Brickell area. And then like now it's surrounded by other like big apartment buildings. But he lived there for like because it's close to the airport.
Yeah.
Well, before we get out of here, I would just like to say, Silent Signs, there's some changes to I Dream of Indie, isn't there?
I don't know. Are there?
You don't know about this?
No.
Well, what about a little contract we signed a few days back?
What?
With the two ladies here.
I thought we talked about this last stream, no?
But it's official in three hours? No, 2 hours. 3 hours.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
3 hours.
Why aren't we like popping champagne? No,
<I'm just> so for those of you that don't know, Legend and Literary Rose signed a contract with us. We're all 25%.
They're stuck with us.
In at I Dream of Indie. So
we gave up our souls. Get sick of us.
We no longer, at least for a year, we don't own the channel exclusively. It's a four-way partnership here.
We put our kidneys on the line for it as well.
We did. We signed a blood oath.
Yes. So you've got like 3 hours to run away.
We're actually all blood brothers now. So
so you can look forward to a year with these lovely ladies. I'm really excited about it myself. It's such like a relief to have help because it was us for so long, you know, and it's like.
I also just think we're stronger together. Like this is.
Yes.
This is meant to be more than just two people. It's
just too big of a job for two people, but it was about finding the right people, which is very difficult in content creation. You would think there's so many talented people out there, but you get so many shysters and people that think it's going to be easy, but it's not easy. And we've gone through a lot of different applications and trying to find people. And we found some great people. It just doesn't work out sometimes. And yeah, but we really hit gold with these two. So thank you, Legend. Thank you, Rose. Aww. We're really excited for a year of content together.
At least. It's wild. It's wild that I started out just watching y'all and also as a member. And it's just like, now I'm here. It's like, what the fuck? I feel like I snuck my way in just like, hey, guys, I'm the baby here too.
I know. Yeah.
Well, you are baby.
They say, you know, never hire your friends, but it worked out in this case, I guess.
Yes.
So now we're business partners.
Yeah. And I think it depends on like the type of friends that you have, you know,
the communication.
Communication is absolutely key. And we hang out all the time anyway in Discord. And I met you guys through Twitter and then through Rose, through just hanging out with her in chat. Now look at us. We're all like hanging out all the time talking about like body parts and
the color of urine.
Color of urine.
I totally discovered Legend on Twitter because like indie specialist streamer is very rare, believe it or not.
True.
So when she popped up, I was like, this is perfect. We got to try to get her. And then she thought about it for a while. She was a little apprehensive, but we got her.
Like, I don't blame her. You are.
Who is the strange man contacting?
Weirdo
with the beard. Well, I like beards. I can't say that I don't, but. It's weird when you're, well, I mean, it's not weird. It's just different when you're a female, you know, content creator, when people like contact you and you're just like, hey, do you want to like an Instagram too? You get all those spam messages.
Yeah.
Like, collab. And do you
I know. It always made me nervous when Joe was reaching out to people. Cause I'm like, they're going to think you're just like a total sketch ball, like just reaching out to these random people. Like,
and they wouldn't be wrong either.
You have to explain that like we're a team and like it's a community and it's not just like you in a bedroom being like, hey, my name is Joe. You want to come hang out at my place tonight? Yeah, the coordinates. The leave your phone at home.
Yes. I've got pizza and beer.
That doesn't mean some of your favorites aren't still gonna be around here too. We're gonna have the X Hardcore Gamers still you know, on reviews and some
and Knox
and some other familiar names and stuff. So but yeah, that's exciting times here. I Dream of Indie.
Yeah, so now if you guys want really cool content with all of us, you just have to like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you know when this drops, when all the videos drops. We do lots of reviews, and now we've got like live streams on the radar, which is cool.
Best what are we like 5 days a week now on streams?
Just about, yeah. Yeah, and Literary Rose got the peak hours. I get the night hours. Yeah, like it's cool, like the types of people that we get to meet during our different time slots. It's awesome.
Yeah, hopefully it all works out, but you're stuck with us for a year at least.
And, unless you get tired of this, which
I will have be forced to buy your shares, and it's a whole mess. But that's okay. That's a whole nother story that hopefully won't happen.
It will be fine. Nothing of that will happen. Yeah. Don't bring the evil into this world.
But you'll go by very quickly.
Lovely listeners, if you're not an indie warrior or an indie legend, maybe consider. We have a beautiful community. You'd be helping support us. By helping support us, you're helping support indies as we try to spread the word, get more eyes on all these games that really don't get represented enough. And, you know, if maybe perhaps you don't want to share the money with YouTube, but you still want to show your patronship and maybe join our Discord, if you go to Ko-Fi, you can just send us directly a donation. And I think Joe mentioned it last time that you could like send the donation of like what a year of membership would be, and you can be a member.
It gets a little weird because memberships are locked on YouTube, but
either way, you'll get one of the most important things, I would say, which is the Discord. Join us, chat with us, share pictures of pets and memes and debate about the best pizza, Domino's.
Good luck with that debate.
It's a little one-sided, but that's okay.
Hey, y'all are the one that have the Domino's little emoji thing, the little in the Discord.
I put that there for you though.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm thinking about y'all sometimes.
I'm so touched.
Occasionally, he puts his selfishness aside.
Rarely.
I'm selfish, really? You think I'm a selfish person?
I don't think you're selfish at all. But
you just said it. Put my selfishness aside.
I meant like
general you
as a man, as a male. I don't know. As a male, I don't know what I was thinking.
I can't help. I was born with dick and balls. Okay.
We had a rule of no dick and balls or boobs today. It was cats and dogs, right? We discussed this, y'all, and then we break it every time.
We can't help it.
It just comes up. But you have all these different options to support us. We've got merch. We've got a partnership with Fanatical, and we put up posts every Tuesday looking at Fanatical deals. We've got a lot of things going on, and you can keep up to date with it by subscribing to our channel, looking at the community posts, joining our Discord, and of course, coming here to this podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been super lovely. And see you next week.
Goodbye.